Welcome to Podcast Ed, the podcast of reimaginedonline.org, sparking the evolution of education choice. In this episode, senior writer Lisa Bowie talks with Nick West, a mobile software engineer and an alumnus of Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Fund, a tax credit program that empowers parents to choose the best educational fit for their children. Since it began in 2014, the fund has awarded more than 11,000 to students and distributed more than $60 million.
Hi, Nick. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
We're so happy to have you. Just to start, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Where do you work? And what are your interests and your strengths?
I'm from Mobile, Alabama. I was a graduate of North Peter Hart Mary Catholic School and McGill Toulon Catholic High School. And from there, I went on, got my undergrad in computer science, currently finishing up my master's in cybersecurity, and will begin working on my doctorate at Purdue University in the fall semester. I currently work as a software engineer for Siemens Digital Industries, as well as I volunteer as a part-time teacher for computer science at the elementary school that I attended.
Tell me about what it was like growing up with your family.
Yeah, so it was interesting to say the least because I had four other brothers and everything. So there was always something going on in the house. I have my oldest brother, Alan. He was 5 or 6 years older than I was. So, you know, but my younger brothers, we were all like a year apart, with the exception of my youngest, which he was a few more years apart. But for the most part, we were always, you know, I can't remember a time when my brothers weren't around me, probably up until, you know, I graduated and went on to college. And so it was, our mom always instilled in us, though, you know, to treat each other respectfully, you know, that we're like sometimes all the only thing that we have and everything. And she actually cooked that with us, you know, when she sent us to school. She always wanted to be sure that she sent us all to the same school. So if we would apply, if a school wouldn't take all of us, she wasn't sending us there. She believed that we did better when we all like worked together.
Well, you can also watch out for each other and tell on each other, too.
Exactly.
I'm the oldest of four kids, so I get that. What did your mom do for a living and having that many kids? How tough was it? Was it on her financially?
It was very tough. My dad wasn't around a lot. He tried. He helped some, but not as much as I think he could have helped and everything. So a lot was put on my mom. She worked with taxes at one point, but when my youngest brother was born and we found out that he had Asperger's and everything, that plus the fact that one of my other younger brothers already had autism and cerebral palsy, she pretty much had to be stay at home, even though it was just her. So at that point, we had to rely a lot on government assistance just because she had to take care of them because there was no resources to help with them. And so that's kind of how we got by and everything.
Yeah, well, it's very hard for anybody when you have one special needs child, much less two. She's a tough lady then. Where did you all start your education? Did you start in a zone school, a district school? And if you did, what was that experience like?
I started at a school, like a program called Head Start. It was part of the public school system. And that wasn't bad, at least from the memories I had from it. That was, I loved being there and everything. And then from there, she put us straight into Harder Mary because of the fact she had two special needs children. And she never heard good things about, you know, parents and their kids, special needs kids to the public schools. So she just didn't want to take that chance at all. So from there, I was in private school up until I graduated high school. And the same for all of my younger brothers, too. Now, my older brother, he was in public school his whole career. He may have went to private school for a year when he was very young. But otherwise, he was in a public school, his own public school, for the entirety of his education.
Mother, learn about the Opportunity Scholarship Fund.
Yeah, so while I was attending McGill Toulon Catholic High School, we came across and thought, well, there was the problem that the tuition was going high. You know, the tuition at Harder Mary Elementary School was drastically different from the tuition at the Yale Thorne Catholic High School. So that definitely started to take a financial burden on my mom. And so we were trying to figure out ways, and the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship was enacted the following year after my sophomore year. However, that financial burden was on us before the scholarship was initiated. So it became like, okay, you know, hopefully I get in a scholarship program the following year, but what are we going to do about the, you know, the remainder of this year? So because of how hard I was working in my classes, because, you know, I always knew how much my mom worked and how much she struggled, and I never wanted to squander that. So I, you know, I always made it my top priority to do well in all my classes and always basically shoot for the skies, because if I didn't, everything that my mom did was basically pointless. There was no need to, it was no need for her doing that if I didn't do my best in class. And many of my teachers saw that. And so they volunteered me to be a recipient for a scholarship that they had within the school itself. And they used that scholarship to get me through the end of the year. And then the following year, I got accepted into Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Program.
So it sounds like there was a real sense of caring and community at your school.
Yes, I thank them constantly. I come back to that school all the time just to remind them how, if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have still been there. And then just for getting me to where I am today. And that's part of the reason why I came back to teach part-time at the elementary school, just because they were the same way. You know, they, as long as we were making good grades, they were able to provide us with scholarships while we were at elementary school as well and everything. And so I'm definitely fine with giving back, you know, helping teach however I can, just because they, you know, they had such an impact on my life, and the scholarship had such an impact on my life.
What opportunities did the scholarship give you?
I mean, they basically gave me the tools necessary to reach for the sky. You know, I feel if I didn't go to McGill and pursue my education there, I would not have been successful as I am. So, I mean, I'm a software engineer now. You know, I teach part-time. I've completed a degree, and I'm about to complete a second degree, and I've already got accepted a program for a third degree. And, you know, that, you know, now it's not a lot of people who do that, you know, in the country in general. And, you know, for, you know, the statistics show that not a lot of African Americans make it that far in general either. So I feel like that allowed me to be well above the curve in all of that. And, you know, especially it allowed me to do something that I love, because I love what I'm doing. And, you know, I can't help but thank the scholarship for that, so that I can have the tools and the education necessary to pursue the career that I wanted to pursue.
You mentioned for a time you couldn't get the scholarship and the school helped you out. Was everybody in your family, except I know your older brother was in public school, but was everyone else in your family able to be on the scholarship? And if not, who wasn't and why not?
So I was on, once I got into the scholarship program, I was able to get in. And my youngest brother, he was able to get in. But my two youngest brothers, one and two in the middle, they were not able to get the scholarship. And we actually don't know why. We think it's just because, you know, it's the way the system works. It's kind of just random anyway. And so, although, you know, it's likely that when you do them all together, we all get it. That's not guaranteed, because it all comes down to funding. You know, if there's enough money to cover everybody. And for whatever the reason, it just didn't, you know, two of us got it, two of us didn't get it. And so, and unfortunately, one of the ones who didn't get it was one of the ones with special needs. You know, if I could have given him that scholarship, I would have done that anyway, because I felt like I probably could have spent it on my own without the scholarship. You know, I'm definitely grateful I got it, but I feel like it was, should have been gone to him than it should have to me, you know, because I feel like he would have needed more, because, you know, we tried online school with him, maybe to see if that would work, that the Alabama public school system was offering at the time. That just didn't work out for him. And we tried to do other things, but none of it worked out. And he ended up not being able to graduate high school. Currently, we're trying to get him to take GED classes. But if he had had that scholarship, I feel that he wouldn't have been in that situation at all. Another one of my younger brothers, he didn't get it, but eventually we reapplied. And he got it a couple of years later. So it was this junior year at that point. And so he was able to go to the Catholic high school his junior and senior year.
How is he doing now?
He's doing well. He graduates this semester, with an undergrad in meteorology.
So he's going to go work for the Weather Service or a TV station?
Yeah, he hadn't made up his mind yet. But yeah, those are his options that he has right now, yes.
It really did provide a lot of opportunity for you and your brothers to excel. Have you been engaged in any kind of advocacy for that program or for education choice?
Yes. So I've worked a couple of times before with the American Federation for Children, you know, spreading support across the country for school choice advocacy and everything. And that was, I started doing that when I was a sophomore in college, because they had reached out and said they had read my story back then and that they just wanted me to come and talk to people to explain to them what the scholarship meant to me. So, and ever since then, I've always been an advocate. Even now, I actually, the application, the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Fund has been not accepting new parents for the last 2 or 3 years. And we finally got extra funding. So this is the first year in those 2 or 3 years that the application is opening up to new parents. And I've been trying to make flyers, you know, reaching out to people on social media, helping parents fill out the application, because I want them to know that, like, yes, this exists. And if your child doesn't seem to be doing as well as you would like them to in a public school, you know, this may be your chance to enroll them in a private school and have it paid for. Because, you know, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with the private, I mean, the public school in general. It's just that I feel like every child has different needs, and a parent should be able to have the choice to pick whatever the best school is necessary to fit their child's needs and everything like that. I have many friends, they went to public school and they are doing just fine. But, you know, I know my brothers, I know myself, I am where I am today because I went to a private school. That's how I see, you know, it just comes down to parents should be able to have a choice, and they should not be hindered because they don't have money or they are below income or those kind of things.
Shared your story with the Alabama legislature?
No, I haven't had the opportunity to share it with them. I'm sure they probably read it, or the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship Fund has probably told them about it. But no, I haven't had the chance yet to talk to the legislature myself and share my story.
Well, what would you tell them if you could?
So yeah, I would tell them, you know, we should focus on funding our kids rather than funding systems, because we've obviously been funding systems for a long time, and Alabama's statistics on education doesn't seem to have been getting better. And I think this period of COVID has kind of opened up the pot a little bit on just how much some of our students are struggling. And I feel that if anything, legislators would be looking at this data and seeing that, like, yes, you know, maybe one of the solutions is, like, let's start funding the kids and making sure that the kids have what they need. You know, I know currently they're looking at a bill that would allow for education savings accounts, which means that whatever the amount of money was allocated to a given student in a given district, that money would be provided to the parents in the form of an education savings account, which they can then use to send their child to a private school or charter school or whatever school they feel is necessary to meet the needs of their child. And I think that's just a great way to go about it, because it allows them to use that money. You know, they pay taxes and everything. That allows them to use that money for their child to better their education in the way that best fits their needs.
ESAs, you think, are the best way to have a scholarship program? There are several different formats. I didn't know. I know ESA is under consideration in Alabama right now.
Yes, on my belief, yes, I believe that's the best way, because at that point, we are truly giving parents the, you know, the ultimate choice. You know, we're giving them the money that was going to be given to them in public school that's already allocated for a child anyway. So it's no extra overhead, or it shouldn't be any extra overhead. And we're just letting the parent decide, okay, how do I want to use my child's education money to provide their best educational needs?
Well, the program definitely helped expand your opportunities. But tell me, and I know you can't see in a crystal ball or anything, but what do you think your life would be like if it didn't exist? What would have happened to you, do you think?
Yeah, so I probably wouldn't, but everything I do has always been to help my family. So if it didn't exist, if I had saw my other brother struggling, I probably would have dropped out, got a job somewhere, made sure that they were able to go to school because my mom was unable to work. I made sure that they got, at bare minimum, they got their education, even if that meant I had to, you know, stop doing what I wanted to do to make sure that they have that, you know. And I probably would have, I would hope that this wouldn't be the case, but I probably would have ended out on the street somewhere as well, just because, you know, it's hard for African-Americans without an education to really do anything with their life. It's not impossible, but the odds are definitely stacked against them at that point. And so that's kind of where I feel like I would have been had I not had these opportunities.
Well, we're very glad you did, and we're very glad it didn't turn out that way. Tell me what you do to pay it forward. Tell me about your tutoring work.
Yeah, so I do tutoring and the teaching at Most Pure Heart of Mary Catholic School. I also do it at another Catholic school, too. And yeah, the whole idea behind that is, you know, technology is getting more advanced. And so I'm bringing all of that experience back to the kids. Because a lot of these parents, they pay out of pocket to send their children to school, private school, and really, and even if they were to send them to public school. But there isn't a lot of classes that offer, you know, that goes over how technology is being used in the world, even though that's where our world is heading towards. And so I come back and I volunteer my time to teach middle school students on, like, here are the latest technologies. Here's how things work. Like, for example, here's how Bitcoin works. Here's how cryptocurrencies work. And they kind of just, they can also take the chance to ask me any questions they have about what they're seeing day to day in life and how it reflects back on the technology in the world. And part of it, I believe, when I go there to teach, the teachers tell me that the kids are just so excited. And I believe it's because it wasn't too long ago that I was there. Some of them I even remember. They were just little babies when I was at the school, but I still remember some of them. And I think to them, it's nice to see not only somebody who went to their same school, but somebody who has become very successful. I walked in and so it's like, yeah, this can be you. You know, if you work hard and you take what you are given, you know, in terms of this wonderful education being provided to you, you know, you can do whatever you want. I tell all of them, I don't expect you to be like me. I expect you to have the tools necessary so that you can pursue whatever career you want to pursue and, you know, not have to worry about the same problems that you're worried about now in your own family.
Well, they are very lucky to have you over there at the schools. What could they do if they had an ESA? Then they could, you know, they have you volunteering, but every school doesn't have a terrific volunteer like you. What would happen if they had ESA money they could use?
Yeah, so they could expand, you know, so many programs, you know, because when you have your ESAs, that's more, that increases the enrollment of the school because now the parents have access to the money. They don't have to worry about a big part of the problem is that if a parent doesn't send their child to private school because they're not working out of public school, it's not because they don't want them to go to private school. It's just that they can't afford it and everything. So they really don't have a choice. But when you give them the ESAs, now they'll find the monetary, the financial burden, that's gone. So they can send them to whatever school they think is necessary that fits their needs, which brings up enrollment on a lot of the Catholic schools. Because right now, actually, my elementary school is in a situation where our enrollment is going down. And that's because a lot of our families are low income families who have a hard time sending their kids to other private schools because of how much it costs. And so we're in the process of almost getting ready to close. Now we're hoping that we can do something about it. But it's because, you know, a lot of families just can't afford. We offer tuition at a lower rate. But, you know, since we're a private school, we can only do so much. And I think ESAs could help smaller schools like that who are serving the community. They can help them grow because now we can get our enrollment numbers back up and the financial burden on the families just isn't there anymore. And so that doesn't have to be a stigma for them anymore.
I understand the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship as a tax credit program.
Yes.
ESAs, I'm assuming, would be funded through the state.
Exactly. Yes, that'd be funded through the state. And we have had instances where the state has provided funds to the Alabama Opportunity Scholarship. But like I said, it's still, at its core, still a tax credit scholarship. So they're not obligated to provide money and everything every year. So we're highly based off of the donations that people from the community in Alabama and other places who feel that this scholarship is helpful and worth investing in, essentially.
Is there anything else you want to share with our audience that I haven't covered here?
Yeah, I would just like to say our prime goal is, you know, should always be the key is not anybody's political views, political agenda, you know, how much money can I make and all of these other things that branches off. At the core, our focus should be making sure our kids can be provided a great education and one that would allow them to sustain themselves in life. Because when they have a great education and they sustain themselves, we have a better economy. We have better minded students. We have better minded adults. And it just helps everybody. It helps the country. It helps the world in the long run.
Wise words indeed. I want to thank you for being my guest today, Nick. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm sure my audience will derive some great information and joy from your having been here. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.